Radio Mystery Theater presents... Such changing times, it is inevitable we fear tomorrow more than yesterday. What's to become of us all? Will we be annihilated in our beds? Is there any way of living in peace ever again? Who can save us? Or is the end an inevitable radioactive fiery ball whirling through space? Today we explore a year in our future when we thought the sun had set for the last time.
Elizabeth? My considered opinion is that the president is hiding somewhere.
The whole idea has stunned me. I don't know what to think.
Well, there's always the possibility the president's been kidnapped. But we're stymied by the message that he's held hostage by the Ray universe. We can't identify it. There's been no demand for ransom. What else is there to think but that your husband, in some strange state of mind, is a prisoner... of himself.
Our mystery drama, The Final Mind, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by G. Frederick Lewis and stars Norman Rose and Ann Williams. I'll be back shortly with Act One. Certain you aficionados of the Mystery Theater rather expect a little knee-knocking, goose-flesh, and spine-tingling fright, I shan't reveal the exact year this tale takes place. Tonight, I'd say, you can all go to sleep in safety. It's tomorrow, I cannot guarantee. We begin at a secret destination 1 mile under the surface of a Midwestern state, in a concrete bunker, where are gathered those who govern and defend the United States.
What's the communicator reading, Mr. Freeman?
Bombs are still bouncing off the Atlantic protection curtain.
Bouncing off?
Yeah, not only off, but most of them are being thrust back to the Asiatics.
It's almost too good to be true that the enemy's bombs could boomerang.
I was pretty sure Justin would pull it off. He's our greatest scientist, so... why wouldn't he come up with a laser formula which forms a protective roof over the entire country?
Oh, is that how it works?
Yes, Freeman here.
Security 5, Mrs. Justin Day would like clearance to enter Control 1.
She has clearance. Pass her through. Elizabeth, it's good to see you.
Max, I just got in from Atlanta.
I thought all spaceports were closed.
They can't stop me from flying my own.
That antique jet can still take off.
I was visiting my sister. A report came through on the zone monitor that the Asiatics are suing for peace. So I had to get here to find out if it was true.
That hasn't been confirmed, Elizabeth.
How's Justin?
He's great. I don't think any of us could believe peace was that close, even if we heard it.
You must be very proud of your husband, Mrs. Day.
Where is he? It's been weeks since I've seen him.
He's been at it round the clock. We had a little foul-up with the Pacific Protection Curtain, and he's been down in Control 8 for 3 weeks, night and day.
Security 5, Mr. Justin Day requests clearance to enter Control 1.
I'll give him a smart salute, a big, fat, welcoming smile, and pass him through. Justin, the curtain works. It works. The northeast quadrant hasn't been touched.
Elizabeth, am I ever glad to see you? Oh, I am beat. If you gentlemen won't mind, I'll just stretch out on this airbed. Oh, that's better. Elizabeth,
Come, sit beside me. Have you been here long?
5 or 10 pulsars.
Justin, is the Pacific Curtain in full operation?
Sizzling.
Justin, I heard on the monitor the enemy is asking for peace.
First sensible thing they've done. Well, if it's more than a rumor, if it's true, then this is a moment to remember. It'll be centuries before we're threatened again by anyone.
If we don't throw peace away, we can be so stupid, Max. So, if it's true, what are you going to do for a living? If a government can do without a national security chief, what'll you do with yourself?
Well, I've always wanted to be a librarian in a small town. How does Shakespeare, North Dakota sound to you?
Not bad.
Yeah, I got it all picked out. My job would be to buy books for our library and read them. How about you, Justin? What's there left for a scientist to do after he's invented the ultimate security blanket?
Justin wants to return to his laboratory and keep searching for new worlds.
You mean in space?
No, in time.
I'm not going to ask you to explain that because I don't think I can understand your answer.
I can't explain it either, but it's all he talks about. You'll have to ask him yourself.
Not now. The poor man's asleep.
Well, after 500 hours on his feet, can you blame him? How close we had come to the end of everything. How quickly the fuse had been lit, burning from misgivings to mistakes to misjudgments to total war. Our only hope of survival lay in my husband's genius. And he delivered. Was there any wonder, then, that he would be rewarded with America's highest honor?
Elizabeth, I won't accept the job. I can't. I've told the party that. I don't fit the mold, Elizabeth. You see, I'm an explorer. I'm not competent to manage such a huge enterprise as this country.
Well, you may not get a choice. You may be conscripted.
What good is an unwilling savior? No, I won't accept it. I can't. I have plans. Urgent, vital, and death-defying. I can't give up 6 years of my life playing world policeman from the White House.
Plans more important than the president's?
Yes, by far. When I said death-defying, I meant just that.
What in the world could be more important than serving your country as president?
Mankind.
Be specific.
If I can complete my work, I believe I can find a way for man to live forever and for there to be plenty for all. Forever. And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, Mr. Justin Day.
Those first months in office were unlike any the world had ever seen. Justin was able to find solutions to problems that had divided the world since the first great flood. Already there was talk of amending the Constitution so that Justin could remain in office 10 years. The day that was proposed in Congress, Justin disappeared, vanished, leaving not a trace.
Elizabeth, you mean you got up this morning and Justin wasn't there? Are you sure he went to bed last night?
Max, I get to sleep before he does. He spends late hours in his laboratory. But this morning, his bed hadn't even been slept in. Oh, he's gone somewhere, that's all. Something he thought so important he couldn't tell any of us about it. Oh, he'll be back, Max. I'm sure of it.
Oh, thanks, Elizabeth. Look, I have to go. I'll keep you posted.
But does anyone besides ourselves know he's missing?
Only the vice president. Charlie's called an urgent cabinet meeting in 10 pulsars, so I better be on my way.
Well, then they'll know.
Well, it's their job to keep mining the store till the boss gets back. Let's trust it won't be long.
Justin did not return. The days turned into weeks, the weeks into months. There'd been no provision in our 30th century Constitution for such a tragedy. Everyone in government operated on a temporary basis. Vice President Charlie Wall, of course, doing double duty.
That's almost 3 months. Seems hopeless to find him. He must have been kidnapped.
Who knows, Charlie? No one's giving up. All our satellites have been programmed with Justin's birth and behavior code. There isn't a particle of universe we can reach by beams that can't react to his wavelength. That is, if somehow he's been spirited into space. Anyway, today's trace and search reports are due in on the Magna scanner any minute now, so we'll have a look, huh?
Is Elizabeth joining us?
Oh, yeah, she never misses a TNS report.
Good evening, Max. Charlie.
Yeah.
Any news yet?
You're right on the button, Elizabeth. I'll turn on the scanner.
Hello, Elizabeth.
Justin?
I sense you have Max and Charlie with you.
Justin, is that you?
What is it, Elizabeth? You all right?
Don't you recognize my voice?
Justin? Where are you?
Elizabeth, who are you talking to?
They can't sense me or hear my voice. Only you can, Elizabeth.
I'm talking to Justin. He's in my head.
I want you to tell Charlie what an excellent job he's been doing in my place. I want old National Security Max to advise Congress that I wholeheartedly endorse Charlie Wall as my successor for the remaining term of my office.
Max, Justin says you must tell the leadership that Charlie is to officially take over the presidency.
Ask Justin where he is.
Keep her talking, Charlie. I'll get word to trace and search.
Tell Max not to bother. I'm not within reach of our scanners.
Max, he says not to bother. Where are you then?
Don't be alarmed. I've been taken hostage on the Ray universe. It's a dimension in time and space, invisible and inexplicable to 30th century man.
Can't you tell me anything, Justin?
It takes a language that would be meaningless to you. I wouldn't know where to begin. All I can say is, I do not have mortality in the sense that we know it.
Justin, are you dead?
No, my dear wife. It is you who are dead to me.
You said you were a hostage. How can we get you back? What ransom do they want?
You'll hear from me again, at which time I'll tell you more. And tell Max and Charlie, even though they cannot sense or hear me, I know what they are thinking and saying.
Max, Justin says he is a hostage in the Ray universe.
I've never heard of it. We'll follow up. Mr. President, I hope you can hear me.
Tell him I can.
He can.
Mr. President, a word of warning to those who are holding you hostage. There isn't a vibration in space that cannot be picked up by our Magna scanners and located within millimeters. We shall find you and not rest until we do.
Elizabeth, tell Max I appreciate his national security posture, but he won't find my body. Not until I wish him to. Tell everybody not to look for me. You will never find me. If everyone will do as I say, all will be well.
There's always a first time. For me, that is. I have brought you many stories of a mysterious nature, but none in which the sound of man is the whole man. Since all of us look towards the future with the hope that it spells better days of great enrichment and greater knowledge, I am stepping aside quickly now so that I may return very shortly with Act Two. Our story unfolds in that sometime of the future. One of the characters let slip the date, the 30th century. We'll take them at their word. A brilliant scientist, Justin Day, having succeeded in averting World War, has, by an appreciative country, been drafted into the presidency. He disappears, returning in voice only, a voice imprinted upon the mind of his wife, Elizabeth. She resumes the story.
Before I ever met Justin, I was a test pilot. Superstition and flying don't mix. So I'm not a believer in portents, signs, or dreams. Our civilization hasn't arrived at the present millennium by conceding to ignorance and credulity. Superstition hampered the first 25 centuries of man. That we know. But I swear to you, the dream I had last night shocked me. This is how I remembered it.
Don't be angry with me, Elizabeth. But I have decided.
Why would I be angry? Have you come back, Justin?
Even if I could, would it be worth it, darling? 6 years of presidential fence-sitting, playing universal chess, conniving in the name of progress. I can't do it.
Who else is there but you, Justin?
Who was there before I had the honor? The best would be an exactingly programmed computer. It could keep our world on a balanced economic and political axis.
A computer?
Yes, Elizabeth. Emotions only get in the way. An emotionless computer. And I am on the verge of the concept.
Charlie, no. I'm not going up in that plane with you and Max. I won't do it.
But we need you, Elizabeth. You're our only link to Justin.
It's useless, I tell you. We won't find him.
Elizabeth, I'm the vice president. I've got to use every trick of the century. This is no ordinary kidnapping of some space colony governor. It's Justin Day, the sole and single power the U.S. has.
I know, Charlie.
No, you don't know. Or you wouldn't be refusing to help Max and me.
Don't you think I want my husband back?
Yes, yes. But that's all he is to you, a beloved husband.
That's all? That's everything. I want him back alive. I told you, Justin said, don't look for me. You will never find me.
He could have said that if he were forced to. The world looks to us for leadership. And with Justin gone, there is no leader.
Charlie, what's holding you two guys up? Let's go.
Just a minute, Max. Elizabeth, we've got to have you with us aboard the Magnaplane. Our only hope is, if our transmission is spotted, he'll communicate with you, and you could talk to him. Maybe persuade him to tell us what to do. Where he is. Is he free to return? And how and when?
You don't believe he can. Or will. Do you, Charlie?
No, Elizabeth, I don't.
You don't think he's being held prisoner?
No.
And the Ray universe?
There isn't any.
You think Justin's concealed himself?
I don't let myself think that.
But you suspect it.
Yes.
We'll cross the Potomac and then, by using the White House as a central point, fly in ever-increasing circles. Tom, switch on the scanners and receivers.
Yes, sir.
You comfortable, Elizabeth?
Max, I don't know what to think.
I told Elizabeth it's our considered opinion that Justin is hiding somewhere.
The idea has stunned me.
I'm not ruling out the possibility he's been kidnapped. But overwhelming evidence doesn't point that way. In 4 months, we've not had a single ransom demand from his supposed captors on this Ray universe.
Mr. Freeman?
Yeah, any signals yet?
No, sir. The vice president would like you to join him aft.
Right.
Elizabeth, you keep your ears tuned to the scanner as we keep circling. Remember, it's for Justin's own good that we find him.
And your good, Max. And mine.
Max?
Uh-huh.
A message just came through on the special line to Control One. A red alert for big news.
I'm glad I put this line in the aft compartment where Elizabeth couldn't hear it. She's in a tough spot, you know.
Yes, I know. If the president has run away, what else is he but a traitor?
Charlie, word on the Hill is since you've taken over the boss's job, things are really rolling. I didn't know that in addition to being a lawyer, you were an agronomist and an economist. That arid zone exploitation plan of yours is really something.
Max, I'm going to tell you something I don't want you ever to repeat.
Sure.
I'm not an agronomist or an economist. I may have some insight, but no practical knowledge. What I do is, every night before going to sleep, I go over every problem that's come that day to my desk. And by morning, I've got the answers.
I've heard of people who can do that. Solve their problems in their sleep.
No, it's more than that. When I get up in the morning, Max, I've awakened feeling that somehow I've been told the answers by Justin Day. It's as though he's been advising me during the night. Signal for another message.
Oh, plug in my voice channel, will you? Hello, Control One, Max Freeman here. Go ahead with a message. Yes, Control One, I read you. Would you mind repeating that?
What is it, Max?
They found the body of Justin Day at the foot of the Washington Monument.
It's been a tough day for you, Elizabeth. Really tough.
Don't go yet, Charlie. These last few days, I've hardly had time to think. They hate being alone. Justin was 41. He had a lifetime before him. Would you mind putting on the communicator?
Now, you don't want to see all that's going on, do you, Elizabeth? Let the wounds heal.
No. Turn it on. I want to. The irony of it all is Justin never wanted to be president. He used to say, if only he could continue as a scientist. He was on the track of eternal life.
What?
Yes. He said, if I can complete my work, I believe I can find a way for man to live in peace forever. Ironical, isn't it?
You sure you want the communicator on?
Please.
The body of Justin Day lies in repose in a flag-draped coffin in the East Room of the White House. A military guard of honor is keeping constant watch. Tomorrow, the coffin will be taken to the Great Rotunda of the Capitol to lie in state. Friday will be proclaimed by President Charles Wall as a national day of mourning.
I had to give the world tribes enough time to get here. The extraterrestrial leaders on Ganymede and Callisto and Titan. Those satellite citizens get mighty touchy if they're not invited to state occasions.
The corps of drummers you are hearing will once again beat in cadence for the procession.
Citizens, friends, allies in interstellar space, as you view my mortal remains, you should know I, Justin Day, am still with you.
What am I hearing? Charlie, what's happening? It's Justin. Justin! Where are you?
The likeness of me will be entombed in Arlington as I have wished. Yet it is not me.
Stop it! Stop it! Turn it off!
I no longer need that body.
I've got to see if it's on other channels.
It served me when I needed it. It is no longer useful or necessary.
He's on every transmission from here to the sun and back.
And so I have dispensed with it.
Elizabeth, I've got to meet with the NSB.
Keep it. My body is yours.
And decide what to tell our allies.
It is yours. Do as I say, and all will be well.
I've got to do this all alone. Another day of not knowing, and I'll go crazy. Last night, he said, the monument, fly above it. 20,000 feet. Okay, good. All checked out. Turn on the gamma sensors. Circling Washington at 20...
Elizabeth, it's no use trying to find me.
Just... That's not why I'm flying now.
Believe me, what I am doing is for the best.
Justin, how can you be alive without your body?
Because all life is thought.
You are a voice inside my brain with no body.
I don't need the flesh and blood machinery people use to transmit ideas. What comes to your mind from me, Elizabeth, is the transference of me.
Is it a person you have made, this final mind? Justin?
I cannot explain anymore. I have programmed it forever. Live by it. All who do will never die.
Stop it! Stop it! Justin, where are you? Please come back.
It is my bequest to you. A creation of science.
I don't care about science. I want you back, Justin. Oh, you had no right to leave me. I can't bear it alone without you.
Elizabeth, what are you doing? Why that steep climb?
Get away from your voice.
I thought you loved me.
I loved a man, a real man. I could see and know. Words in my head.
You took off today to find me over the Washington Monument, didn't you?
It was a foolish dream I had, that's all. I took my plane up because here, over the clouds, the only place I can think more clearly. It's no use. Your voice has spoiled even that. Going into a spin.
Why, Elizabeth? Why are you diving?
You know, Justin, don't you?
Say it, Elizabeth.
Because I don't wish to live without you. I don't want any substitute. Final mind and power and order and what is best for mankind. I don't want any of that. I don't care about that. Let mankind take care of itself.
Do you wish to be with me, Elizabeth, in my dimension? A universe of rays, of light, of knowledge.
I want to be with you, Justin. I do.
Even if it means extinction?
Justin, save me for myself. Can you come back?
Are you sure you wish to die, Elizabeth?
Tale of tomorrow makes me feel somewhat like Sir Isaac Newton, who said of his discoveries, I am like a boy playing on a seashore, now and then finding a smoother pebble or a prettier shell. Meanwhile, said Newton, the great ocean of truth lays undiscovered before me. If there are truths and answers to Acts 1 and 2, I hope they will be revealed to us when I return shortly with Act 3. President disappears, yet his disembodied voice lives on. His wife, a former test pilot, desperate because her husband's body has been found and buried, takes off in her space jet, flies high, then spins to Earth. Her plane stalls. The end to her dive seems inevitable.
Where am I?
Good morning, Elizabeth. You've been asleep.
What?
You're in Memorial Hospital.
I am? How did I...
You'll live. It's a miracle. Can you remember what happened?
In the plane.
In the plane, yes.
Something drew me. The whole plane. It was as if I knew I had to do it. Crash.
You wanted to die? Is that it?
Are you guessing? Or do you know?
I know. Justin made me know.
You too? You heard him?
Last night, when they brought you here, I went back to the White House. I sat there and I felt I heard him. I didn't hear words, just... in a flash, I knew.
Everything?
I don't know. How you wanted to die.
Did he make you know about some insane machine? A computer he's built?
No. He made it when? Since he disappeared?
I have an idea. He's been working on it for years. At 20,000 feet, I kept feeling he was right there.
And you were in your plane, flying?
He was talking so strangely. Mostly about this thing. Oh, what did he call it? The final mind.
Okay, Elizabeth. Don't get yourself wrought up. One last question, and then I'll go. You thought you were losing control of your plane?
Yes. For some reason, I was drawn into a spin. I couldn't pull out. It was like being in a vortex, sucking me into the sharp top of the Washington Monument. That's all I remember. Did they find the flight recorder?
So far, only very small fragments have been picked up. You're the only thing that came down in one piece. You walked out of that crash on your own 2 feet. Nothing broken, nothing even bruised. You're here for observation, that's all.
So if I wanted to, I could get up and walk right out of the hospital?
Yes, but don't. A couple of days here won't hurt.
I'm tired. I'm going to close my eyes now. Give my regards to Max. I'll see him soon.
Mr. Freeman, here are a few more pieces of that plane.
Well, it was bound to happen sooner or later, Tom. Mrs. Day insisted on taking up these antique 20th century jets.
I remember seeing her do stunts in it. Beautiful.
Yeah, it was an old jet fighter which she rebuilt herself. You can't ask too much of them. The only other one around I know of is in the Spaceport Museum. For instance, take a look at this section of an instrument panel. It's pretty primitive.
Hey,
will you look at this?
You got something?
Yeah, these three gauges behind the cracked glass. All the indicators are bent in one direction.
Let me see, Max.
Elizabeth, what are you doing here?
I couldn't sleep at the hospital, so I came here. Oh, is this all that's left of my baby?
You must be unhinged, Elizabeth, coming out here in the dead of night. You've just been in a plane crash.
I know. Charlie was telling me.
Hey, it's nothing to joke about. I want you to get back to the hospital right now.
Max, doesn't it strike you as awfully strange that I should dead stick it to the ground? What's left of the plane can be picked up by one hand, but I am all together. Unharmed... unhurt?
It terrifies me. It's like a nightmare with a happy ending.
Somebody's watching over me.
Yeah. Tom, I want you to take Mrs. Day back to the Memorial Hospital.
Max, please.
Elizabeth, let me remind you, my job is Chief of National Security.
I have this feeling that I ought to look around the monument a little more. There's something in the back of my mind that tells me...
Elizabeth, that... I'm not kidding. Tom?
All right. I'll go quietly. I wonder if you could do me a favor.
Sure, Mrs. Day.
Instead of us walking straight off the monument grounds to Constitution Avenue, would you mind if we went round by the south end of the mall? It's shorter that way.
Well, I guess so. The only thing is that the park lights aren't working on that side.
Wait, it doesn't matter. Over by that big hedge, I know a shortcut.
Mrs. Day... Where are you? Mrs. Day.
Oh, boy. If I've lost her, there goes my job.
Whatever it was that drew my plane to the Washington Monument was compelling me to do the same. Even in the pitch black night, I could see it standing high on the grounds, its sharp marble finger pointing 500 feet into the sky. I found myself at a small, flat stone door set into the base of the shaft.
Elizabeth, you're here.
Justin.
Look for a round stone right under your feet. Under it is a handle.
Huh?
Turn the handle. The vault door will open. Enter.
I found the stone.
Go ahead.
The handle. I'm inside, Justin.
Feel your way along the wall until you come to an iron railing.
I'm holding onto the railing. Where are you, Justin?
Keep walking. Now, stop. Directly ahead of you are narrow, circular stairs. They go down into the foundation for 36 feet. Walk down.
Is that where you are, Justin? Down there?
Walk, Elizabeth. Hurry. Go on. Go on, Elizabeth.
I can't. I don't want to fall.
Faster, Elizabeth.
Why?
You're being followed. Elizabeth, do as I say.
Nobody is sure I hear your voice. No one really believes you still exist. They can't allow themselves to believe that. Justin, I'm here now at the bottom of the foundation.
Turn around. That's far enough. Do you see a phosphorescent glow?
Yes.
What else?
A door. A large marble-faced door. A glow seems to come through the door.
Walk toward it. Tell me what you hear. What do you hear, Elizabeth?
It's something powerful behind the door. Justin, it makes me afraid.
Elizabeth, you are to place your hand in the center of this door. It will open to your touch. Inside, you will not see me. You will sense me. When they come for you, your body will be where you are standing. They will believe you died of a seizure to your heart. But you will be here with me, living forever.
It's too strange. I can't.
I'm right here, Elizabeth, on the other side.
Please, let me go, Justin. Don't do that to my will.
You will be so proud of me, my dearest. You will understand why I could not sacrifice 6 years of my life in such an elementary, childish occupation as being president.
Elizabeth, where are you?
Max.
You will not cry out.
Elizabeth. Elizabeth, we know you're somewhere here.
Charlie's here, too.
Elizabeth. Do as I say.
Elizabeth. Hello. What
are you doing down here?
I'm all right. I'm fine. Hello, Charlie.
Hello, Elizabeth. I thought you were going to stay in the hospital.
Why, have you followed me?
I don't know. Seemed like a good idea. It's 4 a.m. You've been in a plane crash, and here you are waltzing around Washington. We thought maybe you needed help.
Justin's in there.
Oh, yes, 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 he is.
He's behind that big door.
What do you know?
You don't believe me.
I want you to tell them something.
I will, Justin.
Tell them. Right here is a self-powered perpetual dynamo locked into a gamma computer. And I have programmed it to meet every contingency known to man. The problems of floods, famine, politics, economics. I told you what I'd named it. The final mind.
Max. Charlie. I know you can't hear, Justin. He instructs me to tell you that what he has invented is behind that door.
Convince them of what I tell you.
What's he saying, Elizabeth?
He wants you to believe him. That sound is a kind of artificial superbrain Justin calls the final mind.
What does it do?
Reads minds, hears sounds, and acts. The secret lies at the top of this monument. The platinum rods act as a sensor, receiving thought signals from everywhere.
Platinum rods?
The lightning arresters, yes.
They receive thought signals.
I get the message. This mechanism he calls the final mind solves the problems it receives and sends out solutions in return.
Maybe there is something in it.
I leave the final mind as my gift to mankind. Now I'll be on my way to other planets, other galaxies and systems in space to continue my work. My body is a hindrance to me. I bequeath that to the world also.
Elizabeth, can we go now? You must be very tired.
Do you believe?
Why don't we prove it? I'll have the door opened later and we'll have a look. A machine that's going to run the world. Everyone will want to see that. It's a treasure.
He's lying, Elizabeth. Charlie's lying. The moment you leave here and go up the stairs, you'll be placed under restraint and taken away. And then the door will be broken down.
It wouldn't.
And then the final mind will be destroyed.
Charlie, no, Max.
What's upsetting you, dear?
Elizabeth, the alternative is a return to a world mismanaged and war-torn by misguided hands. Tell them it's up to them to decide.
Charlie.
Decide.
Charlie, Max, listen. Don't hurt the final mind. Don't destroy Justin's work.
Forced open and the final mind broken to pieces, putting an end to a dream of peace and long life? Of course, we'll never know because this account takes place centuries into the future. However, if any of you happen to be around or come back in the 30th century and I am still at the creaking door, give me a call on the communicator and let me know. Now, man is built only to learn from the past. Memory only goes backwards. Some say it's a good thing. It's better not to know what we're in for. I don't agree. If the final mind is in our future, I want to know. I'd even settle for a reliable answer as to whether I should wear a raincoat or a ski suit or Bermuda shorts tomorrow. I hope some scientist out there will give my idea a crack. Our cast included Norman Rose, Ann Williams, Paul Hecht, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time.
present.